So Jesus used these parables in a way where they're able to reveal truth to those who are open to hearing God's word, but it also conceals truth to those who are not open to God's what God is saying. So today, how you're hearing God's word actually reveals the condition of your heart. And so let us pray and really take the time to see what God is saying to us today. Father, we pray and come before you, and we ask that you open our hearts, open our ears, our minds, and our eyes to be able to hear and to receive your message. And may it be so strong that we cannot ignore you. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as we look at churches in North America, we discover that there are few professing Christians that really live productive spiritual lives. Because we find people that when they hear the Bible, nothing has been changed. And so many who started well in their Christian faith, they end up not growing at all. And they end up slowly dying inside. There is an old American tale about a chief, and he was teaching some young boys about the struggle within. And he talks about how there are two dogs, and they're fighting inside each of us. And so the chief goes on and tells about how there's one good dog, and this dog would always do good, and then there's this other dog that always do wrong things. And so on one hand, this good dog would always do good things, and it seems like this dog is winning. But then there's the wrong dog that always, or the bad one that does wrong things all the time, and it seems like that one is much stronger, and that one is winning. And so the boys, they were so curious, and then they're like, well, who is going to win at the end? And the chief said, well, basically, it's the one that you feed. Now, it seems that too many people in our churches nowadays, they're feeding the wrong dog. When we feed the dog that is so much after worldly pleasures and desires of this world, it all of a sudden becomes this ferocious beast that takes control of our lives, whether we know it or not. And so, in a way, Jesus told this parable to show why there's so many of us that have been exposed to God's word, but nothing has changed, and we fail to live productive spiritual lives. So, when Jesus tells this story, he compares our lives and our hearts to the various types of soils and grounds in which the seed is sown. And today, I want to ask you, which soil do you relate with? Because how you hear God's word will reveal the conditions of your heart. So the first one that we're going to see, this path that Jesus talks about, there's a sower that goes around and just plants seed, kind of sparingly wherever he wants. Just do some more. all over. Doesn't matter what kind of path or what kind of soil. And he does it very sparingly, all over. So the first one, we notice that it's this kind of path where it's very hard. Now back then, it was very common for the fields to be walked on by a lot of people. And so farmers, it's inevitable that they would sow seed and it would be hard for the seed to penetrate through the soil. And oftentimes when people are walking, it gets harder and harder. And sometimes the seed would only just fall on the hard soil and it would not go deep. And so what happens is that the birds would just come and would quickly carry the seed away. That's I don't know, some of you who can't, maybe you want to see, you might want to move down a bit. Okay, it's my attempt of the birds. So Jesus is referring to people whose hearts are so hard that the truth of God's word would not even penetrate through their hearts. And it's the kind of soil where you hear the word of God, but nothing happens. Not even the beginning, that Satan would just take it away. And I just want to show you a video. I like cute animated videos that help us, but maybe as the AV team prepares, let us see, you know, the different kind of soil before I move on. All right, so you see what happens with the first type of soil. And this is the one that reveals our heart. and so I call this the hardened or the hard heart. So there's some of us who might hear the word and we have problems, right? And then we would all of a sudden, instead of trying to treat the problem, we would just automatically go and blame God. And what happens is that we forget that sometimes the enemy is so strong in our midst, but yet we don't really notice it. Now, I've been in church for quite a long time, and I never really understood or really kind of thought that the devil was a real enemy in my life. And I would just let him tell me lies, tell me things that are not true, and yet I would just buy into them, and I would just believe and blame myself for who I am. And so maybe some of you guys might hear the word, and you might just blame yourself, or you might blame the devil, or you might blame the world, right, for what is happening. And maybe perhaps some of us who've been hurt before so many times, maybe even by other Christians, and yet nothing that they would do would help you to kind of give Christianity a second chance. And then our hearts would get hardened. Or maybe some of us, you hear the word in service, and then you would go, you drive home, and then while you're driving, someone, you know, cuts you off, and you get really angry. And then you are so consumed with that energy that that's all that you remember, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get revenge on that person, right? And then all of a sudden, you forget what happened during service. And so Satan, or the enemy, has ways to sometimes take the word out of our hearts even before it even have time to kind of penetrate into deep down. And so sometimes we have to realize that we are in a position that if we're making any progress in our lives or any improvement for someone else's life, then you have to understand that Satan can come and immediately take that away from us for what is sown. And so there are different tactics to help us to say the anointed no. Because when the Spirit is inside of you, you have that power to say, hey, no, in Jesus' name. I don't have to be angry. I can stop that thought. Hey, I don't have to cut that person off again, you know. I can have control of that feeling because of who is inside of me. And so back then, like farmers, they can actually fix the problem of this hardened path. You know how? Just plow it, right? They would. I come from a family of farmers. My parents are farmers. And just till the soil. And when you do that, it loosens up the soil. And then the seed, when the farmer just plants it, it will be able to penetrate. And they're able to grow. And so just like these farmers, maybe God may be asking you, you need to plow your heart so that God can enter his word into it. Because in the Bible, it says that we need to prepare our minds. And I might be guilty of this too, you know. Sometimes when we come to service, how many times are we thinking about something else, you know? Have we had enough sleep, prepared our minds before service, even the night before? Or maybe even during service, you know, I don't know why, but like sometimes technology can take a hold of us, right? Sometimes we feel like we look at our phones and we think that, oh my goodness, I have to have it on all the time because what if I miss a message, you know? I need to know like what is happening. Or sometimes our minds are thinking about, okay, what should we eat for lunch? Oh, where should we go afterwards, right? And so sometimes it might get us distracted. And, you know, we became in a society where we think that, man, we're so important. Like, I remember one time I lost my phone. Not lost it, but I forgot where I placed it. But then when I found it, I was so worried because I thought, man, there's so many messages I've missed and so many calls I might have missed. And then I looked at it, there was like no one messaged me or called me. And I thought, wow, I thought I was important, but I guess not. So sometimes we can be so distracted in a way, which I want to talk about later. But back to this, you know, it reveals, a hard heart reveals something inside of us that we need to work on. We need God to allow him to, perhaps it might be your pride, or maybe it's your anger that is really consuming you. Or maybe it's a complacency inside of your heart towards God where you don't really feel that I want to worship today or I want to hear God's word. Reading the Bible is hard. I don't have that motivation. And simply just ask God at that moment. Just ask him to help you and to help you to give you an understanding so that you're able to apply it in your life. Just remember, don't settle less for God's best for you. Now, the second type of soil that we're going to look at is one that Jesus speaks of that is very rocky. Now, he's not talking about a soil that has a lot of rocks in it. What he's talking about is a kind of soil that's very shallow, and it's on top of, you know, could be very big rocks in there. Some of you guys who have gardened before or tried, you know that a soil that has a lot of rocks inside, it's very, very annoying. Like, you would have to kind of, you can't even grow anything. You have to take away those really big rocks. And so here, the reason why the plant dies is not because of scorching heat or the sun or the trials of the weather, but it's actually because it's built, the seed is planted on very shallow soil. And so it doesn't have enough deep roots to deal with the trials. And it's the same kind of soil that destroys one plant can also prove to be the quality of another plant. Because when you look at it, everything actually depends on the deep roots. Because when you have, is there another mic? Okay, I'll just hold on to this, because every time I turn, it falls. Anyhow, like, every time when there is a shallow soil, and when the seed comes, it can't grow. But when there are really deep roots, the plant will be able to survive, even through scorching trials and temptations in our lives. And it shows that it proves to be the stronger and healthier plant. And so, when you look at it, sun is actually a beautiful thing. Sometimes we see it as something really bad, right? But for plants, it's actually very needed. You know, some of you who've studied science or have studied, you know, like, photosynthesis is very important, and it helps to grow the plant. And so what proves to be a devastating trial to the plant with shallow roots also proves to be the life giving source to plants that have deep roots. So I call this kind of soil, or this heart, the shallow heart. Maybe some of you have sincere faith, but your faith might be very shallow. You may be living out of your own soul rather than living out of your spirit. And what I mean by that is that when you're living out of your soul, you're living out of your own mind, your own emotions, your own thoughts, right? And so you can't go in deeper enough. And so when you notice about these responses, they're immediate. You see that they hear the word, they get excited about it, but there's no prayer, there's no reflection, there's nothing like that they would continue to study God's word. And so when you look at that, we need to put down our roots so that we can persevere through phases of trials. That means sometimes we need to know what is that one thing that we could do to deepen God's word or in our hearts. Then we do that. Let me share with you a story about, there was this 10-year-old boy, and he wanted to learn and study judo. But the thing was, he actually lost his left arm in a serious car accident. And so the boy began to look for lessons from an old Japanese sensei or this judo master. So this boy, he was doing so well, and so he didn't understand why after 3 months of training, this sensei would only teach him this one move. And so the boy finally asked, "Hey, sensei, shouldn't I be learning more moves than just this one move?" Hello. And so the sensei answered him, "Well, you do know just one move, but it is the only move that you'll ever need to know." And so the boy was very confused, but he thought, okay, the sensei must know something. I'll follow him and I'll believe what he says. And so several months later, the sensei took him to his very first tournament. And so surprising himself, this boy actually easily won his very first two matches. And so he went on to his third match. But this third match actually proved much more difficult because after some time, his opponent all of a sudden became very impatient and he just charged at the boy. And then this boy skillfully used his one move to win the match. And he was very, very amazed at his success. And he finally went into the final round, into the finals. And this time, his opponent was actually much bigger, much stronger than he was, and much more experienced. And so for a while, this little boy, it seemed like he was not doing well. He was totally overmatched. And so the referee was very concerned for this boy, and he wanted to call a timeout. And then he was about to stop the match when all of a sudden the sensei said, "No, it's okay. Go on. Let him continue." And then soon after the match was resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake because after a while, he let down his guard, and all of a sudden, the boy went and used his one move on that bigger opponent. And you know what? He actually won the match, and he became the champion that day, his very first tournament. So on the way home, the boy and the sensei, they started to review kind of all the moves that happened during the tournament. And then the boy, he was so eager, and he asked the sensei, "Sensei, how did I win the tournament with only one move?" And he said, "Well, you won for two reasons. The first one is that you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And the second thing is that the only defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." And so the boy's biggest weakness has become his strength because his roots went down deep just by practicing that one move. And so the reason many Christians wilt in their face of scorching heat or trials is that they have really shallow root systems. They haven't disciplined themselves to learn maybe that one move to help them in times when these problems come. So what is that one move that God is asking you? Maybe for you, okay, I am going to read the Bible, and I'm going to not just read it, but I'm going to learn and understand what God is saying to me. Maybe for some of you, you really like nature, and for some reason, it just makes you closer to God. And perhaps that could be your one move where you go outside and you are thankful for what God has done for you, and you become more of a thankful person, and you continue to do that. Or maybe perhaps that one move could be helping someone else that is in need, and it helps you to build a stronger and caring heart for other people rather than focusing on yourself. And the Bible teaches us it's very important to be rooted and established in love. So is your Christianity shallow or deep? Are there troubles in your life that might be knocking you out, or is that making you stronger? Well, let me share with you, no matter where you are in your life, you have still so much room to grow. And there's no such thing as arriving spiritually already. You can still learn so much. So here are some practical ways I already named some of them, but it's so important. I think one of them is to be committed to a church community. And Phil, you opened up so beautifully. You talked about how, you know, sometimes you're so excited to come to the house of God and hear from him, whether it's through the music or through the word or through each other. Being in community helps you grow together. Sometimes, some of you, you need to learn to be in community and to share with each other, right? To know that life is not just revolving around ourselves, but there's so much more than that, right? So sometimes being community, we can speak truth to each other, but we can grow in together. But it has to be in a solid community that you participate in and that you get involved in, and not just church hopping here and there. You know, there might be seasons for that, but I think that being called in a community and grow deeply is so important. And reading the Bible, we say that all the time, but honestly, when it came to a point in my life when the Bible just came to life, like, there's something so deep inside of it that it was so amazing, because I realized this is God's love letter to us. This is him pouring out who he is, who, what he had done in the past, and what he will do. And he's speaking truth and speaking love to you. And prayer is a wonderful thing too, because when you pray to God, it's like your response to him, but you're also receiving from him. And so these are some of the ways that would help us to grow deep, our roots to grow deeper. The third soil that we look at, now this type of soil Jesus talks about is one with thorns and weeds. Now, I'm talking about like, I don't know what kind of, okay. some nasty weeds that, you just don't want to see, or some thorns that grow out of the soil. And when you garden, you have to take these out, because what happens is that this kind of soil, it would choke the plant even if it tries to grow. And so these thorns, they grow up quickly, and they basically take out all the nutrients that is meant for the plant. But instead, it just takes it away, and there's no reason or there's no room for the plant to grow. And so the thorns represents, these could be the cares of wealth, or life and the desire for money that choke up God's word in your life. So when the seed is planted and when we pursue other things that are from the world, it consumes our energy and it takes away from our energy to pursue spiritual things. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about, like, there was an interview of six top executives, and they were making six-figure income. I'm talking about, like, people who are making $100,000 to close to $1 million a year. And now you're probably thinking, wow, you know, if I am able to make $100,000 a year, I'll be so happy. There's no worries. There's no problems. But the interviewer asked each of them, what is your greatest fear? And each answered pretty much the same, using different words. And they said, the greatest fear that we have is that we don't have enough. And then they said, and they were asked, well, how much is enough? And they said, just a little bit more. Now, it seems that the world's good can never completely satisfy us. You know, you find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and then the price of gold drops. Or, you know, you strike oil, and then all of a sudden, the oil market deteriorates. And your ship comes in, and then it just sinks in the harbor, right? You never know, like, all these things that happen. And so there's this author. She wrote a book, and she said, it's titled How Much is Enough? She said, in our American culture, money has moved to the center stage. Money has gone well beyond its literal function as a way to provide for essential needs, and has become in itself an essential need. We're working harder and earning more, yet we continue to be driven, restless, unsatisfied. She warns that there are just too many of us that vigorously pursue money and success, where work has basically become the center of our lives, and then everything else revolves around it. But when we have faith in Christ, that shouldn't be the case, because that should be the center of our lives. God should be the center, and everything else should revolve around that. Because Jesus says, don't worry about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, but seek, or what shall we wear, sorry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And so one of the practical things that we can do is actually to start tithing. It's so opposite, right? But in order to this one that we talked about, in order for the plants to grow, instead of being distracted by worldly desires, is actually to give to God, because it's actually, tithing is a biblical command. He's not saying, hey, I need your money, or I just want to see how greedy you are, so you should give, just to reveal, you know, the condition of your heart. God is not saying that. He's saying, trust me. You know, what I have given you, I want to bless you more, but I want to show that you can trust me, because it shows that there's something in your heart that you still hold on to, and I want you to give that up, because he wants to give you the best. And so sometimes tithing is one of the best ways to serve other people. Remember, the money doesn't just go like, I don't know, some secret offering bag or something, but it actually goes to further his kingdom, for the church, for other people, for other missionaries, or for other people who are in need. Another, and don't get me wrong, like, and not just giving, like sometimes we might not even have a lot. Sometimes some of you might be students, or you're financial crisis. But the moment that you start to give, something beautiful happens. And God wants to control your heart with that. And so that's why tithing or offering is a beautiful thing that we need to learn. And another tangible thing is just be around people that are very needy, and you will see how much that the world, wow, like, it would just soften your heart. Because this heart is called the distracted heart. It wants to grow, but it's just divided with so many things. And finally, this last one, that last soil, this is a good soil, and I call it the fully committed heart. And this is the type of soil where it does not have, you know, rocks, or it's shallow, but it's really deep. It doesn't have thorns or weeds in it, but it's growing, like, massively. Here's my abstract plants. Okay, anyways, it's crazy, okay? It says it's growing 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. And back then, like, even, you know, 7-fold is actually considered a lot. So when Jesus shares this parable and talks about a soil that can grow 30-fold, that's a lot already. But imagine 60-fold, 100-fold. It's basically the difference between this one and all the other ones is that this one can bear fruit, and it can bring glory and honor to God. Now, I am a competitive person. Kitty, I don't know if you could vouch that, but, like, man, when I play games, it's pretty competitive, okay? So for me, even in life, like, if I know that, if I'm on a, let's say, 30-fold, right? But if I know there's 100-fold out there, man, I'll go for that, right? I'll go for that. I'll try. And let me leave this with you, is that in this type of soil, it's because this person has spent time with God and the relationship that it has grown. And this person might be new but to Christianity, but it's hungering for so much more. And it understands that, you know, Jesus didn't just die on the cross so that you can live a 30-fold life. He wants you to live a full life where it's 100-fold. He wants to bless you, and he wants to grow you. And man, if that doesn't even move you, I don't know what else can. And so every time when we look at the cross, it's not just a wooden cross, but there's so much meaning behind that. I'm so glad that when someone told me about God's love, and when I became a Christian as a young girl, I held on to that because at home it was so different. I come from a non-Christian family. And so for me to hear God's word like that, I really wanted more, and I really wanted to learn because it was so new to me. And so, friends, I just want to share that with you, that whatever that you hear today, I hope it doesn't go back empty-handed, that you would take hold of what you hear, and whatever you see, whatever that God reveals to you, that it be so strong that you cannot ignore it. Because God doesn't want you to settle less. He wants you to settle for what's best for you. And so every time that you hear God's word, not only that does it reveal the conditions of your heart, but it's an opportunity to receive him. Let's pray.